5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Sarah,
woo,
just 5 o'clock it.
Somewhere.
It went really quick. Didn't
here
it?
At the AT&T store,
Tempe Marketplace, the AT&T store where we're
great
at.
Great group over here. They got a great group of people working the AT&T. They got all the Game of Thrones products too that you can pick up here at the AT&T store, Tempe Marketplace. I always come down here and take my kids to Dave and Buster's. They like that place.
They've partnered up with Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, AT&T, a very proud sponsor of that, and a proud sponsor of military veterans and their families as well. If you want to donate to Tony's cause, text the word ARF, A-R-F, to 620-620. He's been working with his Animal Rescue Foundation.
Help a veteran get a dog.
To place animals with vets, especially ones with post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's been a big help. It's been a huge success. If you want to donate, text the word ARF, A-R-F, to 620-620. No surprise, but the media who are in Dayton covering ASU just got handed the starting lineup for ASU. Remy Martin's going to start, Luke Stort, Rob Edwards, Zylan Cheatham, and Romello White, your starting lineup for ASU in a game that starts about an hour from right now. But on this Josh Rosen front, and we'll talk about ASU coming up in the next segment because I know ASU St. John's is a big deal tonight. But this Josh Rosen, these rumors, these mock drafts that continue to say it's going to be Kyler Murray, and it seems like almost every single one now is saying Kyler Murray, which, again, is either the most elaborate smoke screen in the history of smoke itself, or it's actually going to happen. Either way, Josh Rosen, is it if he gets traded? Is it when he gets traded? I don't know. But I read this article today on AZ Central by Cardinals beat writer Bob McManaman. And there are a few lines in here that I highlighted that I just want to read to you, all right? Because I just kind of want your sort of reaction to them, all right?
Yes.
Here's McManaman.
Okay.
Quote, the last time we heard Rosen's voice or saw him in a video on social media, the Cardinals quarterback was in Daytona Beach, Florida. He was picking up garbage and plastic waste.
For Ocean.
From the ocean.
Oh, it's a great charity. Okay. I donate to them. For Ocean. They clean up the oceans.
He was picking up garbage and plastic waste from the ocean as a celebrity volunteer. It's sort of ironic that ever since that weekend, Rosen has been getting treated like garbage himself.
Oh, man.
Okay, that's a lot.
Oh, that's a... Ooh.
Okay, well, right. I read that, and I'm like, wow. Okay, so put that away for just a second.
Okay.
That's comment number one. Comment number two, it begs the question, have the Cardinals privately reassured Rosen that he isn't going anywhere and the team is simply trying to increase the value of the number one pick by allowing these rumors to run rampant? That's number two.
Possibly.
And then number three, imagine the reaction of the Cardinals fan base if Arizona trades out of the number one slot, passes on Murray, and keeps Rosen. There probably will be a mini rebellion if Rosen returns as the starter.
I don't know that I buy that. Why would there be a mini rebellion?
Because people are excited about Kyler Murray, and they're going to be disappointed that it's just Josh Rosen who's their quarterback? That would be the reason. I'm not saying I buy it. I'm just saying that would be the reason.
Don't you think you need to wait to see if Murray's successful somewhere before you have a mini rebellion? Yeah, well, you're going to get all pissed off, and then Murray goes out there and he lays an egg, and he's not that good. He takes a beating, and he's in a system that doesn't work for him.
That sounds logical, unless you've already reached the conclusion as a Cardinals fan. And I don't know how on earth you could reach this conclusion, but if you've already reached the conclusion as a Cardinals fan that Josh Rosen is not a very good quarterback, then yes, I can see how you'd be disappointed they didn't take Kyler Murray. I don't know how on God's green earth you could reach that conclusion about Josh Rosen after that roster that was around him last year, after that offensive line that was in front of him last year.
Kids,
how could you decide that?
Listen, there are some people, I've spoke with players who, they don't say he's got a bad work ethic, but he's not the last one to leave, you know, that type of thing. Like, he doesn't have, like, the best work ethic, but it's not bad. So, the guy cares about other stuff, like the oceans and global warming, and he's an intellect. He's a smart kid. He wants to be involved in other things. I don't think football is the... I think he cares about it, and I think he wants to win, but I don't think it's all he has is football. Now, I don't necessarily think that's not a bad thing. The kid's involved in other stuff. He went back to school. Didn't he go back to school?
Yeah.
I think he went back to school. He was helping with For Ocean, which is a great charity. He's involved with a bunch of different things. I mean, he cares about the, you know, stuff like that. So, again, I don't think that's a bad thing, but I don't think he is 100% football all the time. I don't know that he has to be. I mean, it would be nice if he was, but you know, but that's not him. He's a smart kid, and he's involved in other things. I don't think there's a a mini, what'd you call it? A mini
rebellion.
Rebellion if they, unless Murray ends up being good. Could they have a short Rosen and not doing anything? Possibly. I still think, in my heart of hearts, that if you want to create a smokescreen, it's not that you're going to take Murray. It's that other teams want to take Murray. And that's the thing that we haven't heard that makes me a little leery of it. Because if I want to trade the number one pick, I've got to create the market. I've got to be like, oh, we're getting calls left and right. There's five teams that have called. I want that out there. All these teams are calling on Murray. Instead, what's happening? You're allowing teams to go get quarterbacks. Miami went out and got a quarterback. Denver went out and got a quarterback. The Rams got a backup quarterback. I mean, not the Rams don't matter, but these teams are making moves. Does that preclude them from trading to get Murray or Rosen, trading for Rosen or moving up to get Murray? Probably not. But it's still like I would want more than anything the reality being out there that, hey, teams want to move up to number one. We've got multiple teams that want to move up.
Funny, I was hearing you talk, and I was thinking about it, and it's almost like the opposite has happened here. If the goal a month ago was to create this idea, hey, the Cardinals might take Kyler Murray, you better go up to get to number one if you want to get him, because the Cardinals kind of like him. It's gone so overboard, and not through the Cardinals' efforts, it's just sort of happened this way. It's gone so overboard that the Cardinals like Kyler Murray so much that instead the opposite has happened. Now it's, oh, they're going to take Kyler Murray. They want to trade Josh Rosen, right? And I don't know if that's what they intended to do. I don't know if the goal was to create a... I thought all along the goal was to create a marketplace for Kyler Murray and the number one pick. And instead, what has happened, a marketplace has been created for Josh Rosen. Because the people who are covering the NFL are convinced the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray number one. And that now Josh Rosen is the guy that you can get in a trade. I don't know if that was their intention when this whole thing started out. But did they call him? I don't know. I don't know if they called him. I don't know if they let him in on the plan. I don't think they owed him a phone call. It would have been nice if they called him and said, hey Josh, you're going to hear a bunch of stuff over the next couple of months. Don't listen to it, man. You're our guy. Just kind of put up with it and deal with it because we're doing what we can to create this marketplace. I don't know if they gave him that call or not. Are they treating him like garbage?
No. It's a business. I think you have to, you know, I think you have to, this is the process. And listen, I think you need to say something to Rosen because I think he, and I don't think he has the right to, you know, like you have to do this for him. But I think it's professional.
Are they treating him like garbage?
No, not if the plan all along is to trade the pick and they're going to keep him. I mean, they're not treating him like garbage if that's the plan. If the plan is to keep him. And you told him, hey, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're not going to say, you know, then I don't think you treat him like garbage. It's a business. If he gets traded, he gets traded. Hey, you know what? We'd like Kyler Murray better. You know, we drafted you. We thought you were going to be a franchise quarterback. We changed our mind. People change their mind all the time. We've changed our mind. We're going to go in a different direction, and we're going to trade you. There's a lot of teams that are interested in you. You'll be fine. You'll find a home somewhere else.
It went so far as that one national writer, Jason LaConfora, suggested that the Cardinals need to do right by Rosen and trade him sooner rather than later, as if they owe that to him. As if, hey, we understand this has been rough on you. We're going to give you clarity and direction. We're not going to wait until draft night to do it. We're going to do right by you, and we're going to do it before draft night, which I think is ridiculous. Look. Everybody in the NFL knows you're just a commodity, you're a player, you're going to get traded, it happens, right? This is life in the NFL. There are no guarantees, there are no promises. Josh Rosen is just finding this out a lot sooner than he or anybody around him expected.
This is not the way it's supposed to happen.
No, it's not supposed to go down like this, but that doesn't mean the Cardinals owe it to Josh Rosen to trade him somewhere sooner rather than later. Because, hey, man, sorry, kid, we feel bad for you. We feel bad that you're going through all this. This is life in the NFL. This is the trade-off that comes with playing in the NFL. You have to be prepared for that. Josh Rosen's dealing with it right now.
He is. I'm sure if he doesn't know, if they haven't spoken with him, if they haven't told him what their plans are, man, that's probably a lot of sleepless nights. what the hell is going on with my career? Where am I going to play?
Probably.
Am I going to be a backup to some aging veteran for the next 2 years? I want to start. I want to play.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's a lot of sleepless nights if he really doesn't know what the plan is.
March Madness tips off. It has tipped off. And with it comes your chance to be the Arizona Sports Bracket Boss. It's presented by Santan Ford and Schwartz Laser Eye Center. Text the word BOSS to 62620. Sign up. Get your bracket. Compete for your shot at $1,500. Again, text BOSS to 620620. They're in the exact same spot as they were a year ago. If ASU basketball loses tonight, how do we judge the season? Plus, some interesting news about the Phoenix Suns that might be worth a listen as well. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn. It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
Gambo dropping a little knowledge on social media, and now he's going to do it on the radio show about the Phoenix Suns. And, boy, given that we're just about to go into March Madness, this is almost perfect.
Yeah.
This is almost perfect, this knowledge that you're about to drop on everybody. Share with everybody listening what you just shared on social media in the last 60 seconds.
The Suns are going to meet with former BYU star Jimmer Fredette tomorrow.
What?
Oh, it's good to hear the ticket oak on a Wednesday afternoon, isn't it?
Suns are meeting with former BYU star Jimmer Fredette tomorrow. Could sign for remainder of season. Now get a free look.
Vinny Murata.
Free look. Been playing. Yeah, he's been playing. He can play right away. It's not like he's, you know, listen, you get a free look at him. I mean, it's not going to be any money. It's not going to, just take a look. You know, he could come in, he could play right away. So, I mean, everybody loved him at BYU. He was a star. He was playing for the Shanghai Sharks.
Yeah, I'm looking at his wiki page, and that's the last Shanghai Sharks and something called the Basketball Tournament. A $2 million winner-take-all summer tournament broadcast on the ESPN family of channels. He was the coach for Team Fredette. Wow.
Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer, as in, yeah. Whatever happened to Jimmer Fredette? Okay.
Played in the NBA, didn't make it. He could shoot. He's a veteran. He's been playing, so he'd be able to come in and play right away. Now, I don't know if they're going to sign him. I don't know that. It's possible that they could sign him for the remainder of the season, but they are going to meet with him tomorrow. I initially said they already met with him, but it is tomorrow. So the Suns are going to meet with Jimmer Fredette tomorrow. Could end up signing him for the remainder of the season. It's a possibility. Don't know if they're going to sign him or not. Just know you meet with them, and you know, then they could, if they do sign him, again, free look for 10 days. Could be a guy comes off the bench and you say, do you like him or not? Is he worth a guy? Is that a guy worth keeping on the end of the bench next year? Remember, he can handle the ball, so he can play point, and he also shoots the ball well. NBA career, if you look at his NBA career, was nothing, but he's played well overseas, and they'll take a look at him. I actually had a few people like asking me about it. I was like, let me just check on this to see if there's anything to it. I just didn't know. And then took a little while. I literally took a little while, but I ended up, you know, tracking it down that they are going to look with him. Played for Sacramento, the Bulls, New Orleans, and the Knicks.
Once upon a March Madness for Jimmer Fredette. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Tonight, ASU is getting ready to take on the St. John's Red Storm. And with it, the winner moves on to what we consider to be the first round of the tournament. They consider it to be the second round of the tournament, whatever. It's the play-in game tonight. You're going to hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Last time we checked, Bickley and Murata were running a poll on their show. Will you consider this season to be a failure if ASU loses tonight? It was in the 90th percentile, 93%, 94% the last time we checked, that said, yes, this season would be a failure if they lose tonight's game. I'm not usually an extremist like that. Usually I don't look at things and go, no, man, it's not a failure if you lose. I'm inclined to think that it is a failure if they lose tonight's game.
A failure in progress?
I think they have to show progress. They have to advance from their position a year ago. And if they fail to do so, yes, I think this season will be a failure if they can't win one NCAA tournament game.
To the players on this team, to the coaching staff for this year, I agree, it's a failure. To sit there and but to look at it a different way, to get to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row is the building blocks of a foundation of something you're trying to do. You're trying to create a team that consistently can play in March Madness, a team that consistently could be one of the top three or four teams in the Pac-12 and have a chance to go play in March Madness, and you sell that to your kids. We play in March. We've been to the NCAA tournament 4 years in a row, 5 out of 6 years, 6 out of 8 years, whatever it is. That's got to start somewhere. I agree. I'm just looking at it two different ways. This team that's playing right now to not win a game in the NCAA tournament, failure. Failure. To the coaching staff that did not to not get them a win, failure. For the overall health of the program, just getting there this year is a success. Because it's more of a building block.
Well, because you've gotten there in back-to-back years for the first time since Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. I mean, you have to go back to the 70s and early 80s since the last time ASU basketball has done it. But as Bobby Hurley himself said on Monday, when you go to the tournament two straight years, it raises expectations.
We did something that hadn't been done here in a long time, and going back-to-back tournaments. And it's great for your program when you have multiple years in a row, because then, you know, every new group of players to come in, they, hey, this is what we do here. This is, you know, what we expect to do, and that's what we strive for, and the culture of winning and valuing winning and getting to the tournaments like this. So hopefully that's starting to build and develop in our program.
You know what, I'll tell you, I hate to devalue the play-in game again, because I've done that a lot.
Oh, you have.
But I'm gonna devalue the play-in game again. All right, if we were talking about ASU as a 9 seed playing an 8 seed tomorrow,
okay,
then I wouldn't say that it's a failure if they lose. It's a play-in game against St. John's. I don't think it's asking too much after back-to-back years of being in the play-in game to win a play-in game.
St. John's is saying the same thing. You're playing ASU.
They're
one of the worst teams out of the 68.
I don't care about St. John's. I don't care about ASU. I know you care about St. John's. I don't care about St. John's.
No, I'm just saying, like, for any of these teams playing in a play-in game, it's a freaking coin flip. You don't know who's going to win. I mean, these are the four worst teams that got in or the play-in games.
I don't think it's asking too much to ask for ASU to beat St. John's tonight. I don't.
I don't either.
I don't think I'm asking for the moon and the stars and everything in between.
And I think they're going to win.
I think they are, too.
I think they're going to win this game.
I think they are, too. And if they don't, and we come in here tomorrow and we talk about an ASU team that got bounced in the play-in game back-to-back years, we are going to be undeniably disappointed in their inability to advance in this tournament for the second straight year. There's no other emotion I'm going to feel about it tomorrow when we're in here. I'm going to be like, man, I can't believe they lost that game in two straight years. There's no other way I'm going to feel about it.
I know. No, listen, I know.
I can't even pretend to feel another way about it.
It takes a lot of the enjoyment out of the tournament to not have a local team in it, you know, when we get to that first Thursday of what we call the tournament, because we don't count these playing games.
We are out of here a little early for ASU basketball. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.